the 13th chapter. And if you'll stand, please, in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading in verse number 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for your wonderful kindness to us, and thanking you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, once again tonight, we certainly need your power, your wisdom. We ask you, Lord, to just help us, and Lord, that we might have that understanding that you're talking about in your Word. Lord, as we seek wisdom from you to understand the Scriptures, Lord, we need you to teach us. And so, Father, we ask for that tonight. And Lord, that you would just be glorified and honored in this place, and that your name would be lifted up always at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, thank you for your goodness tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. In verse number 13, we covered verse 13 and I think just about all of verse number 14, but in verse number 13 it says, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He's talking about the second beast. We saw the first beast in the first part of chapter 13 of Revelation, and then we got to verse 11, and we saw the second beast arise out of the earth, the Bible says, and it says that does great wonders. He even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, we discussed all of those, but in verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And before I read the rest of it, notice it talks about deceiving. Satan is a deceiver, and this beast, as we know, gets his power from Satan. That's what the Scripture says. So we know that he also is a deceiver. The first beast is a deceiver. The second beast is a deceiver because they get their power from Satan. So Satan is always a deceiver. He is a deceiver. You watch it. He's a deceiver. He's a sly guy. Amen? And you got to watch him. All right, and then he says at the end of that, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And if you remember, we talked about the image that was set up in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar's image that he had set up certainly was a type of this image. And of course, back then, you remember, they was also commanded to worship that image that was set up. More than likely, that was an image of Nebuchadnezzar, more than likely. And here we have an image of the beast. And it's just the back there was a type of what this image is going to be. And certainly they were instructed, commanded to worship this image of the beast. And of course it caused people worldwide to worship him. And once again, as I remember, we discussed the fact that pride enters in here. The real sin of Satan was pride. He wanted to be great as the great God. And it was pride. He didn't want to take second place. And if you'll notice, we even talked about that basically all sin has its root in pride. So you watch that. Keep that in mind, you see, because pride is a very, very terrible thing in the eyes of God. And you notice here also that it causes the people here to accept him as God. Now, if you remember, we discussed last week the ultimate, what man is dealing with and what they want is, and what Satan wants man to believe is, that man is the high echelon. He's the tops, humanism. And, of course, here is the ultimate in the goodness of men, the greatness of men. They won't worship God, but they'll worship a man who is the beast, the Antichrist, you see. And man will begin looking at man and his greatness. Well, we're seeing that all over the world today. If you just watch this thing all over, men are worshipped. Sports heroes are worshipped. We discussed that, went into that, talked about that. But there's a worship of men. It's humanism. That's what our kids in the public schools are being taught, is humanism. That's what they're being taught, you see. And it's not going to be very difficult for them to just follow along and worship man. And see, when the Antichrist comes, well, it's all going to be set up, see, for them to look to him. Now, I'm going to go back to the book of Daniel just for a few moments in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture because we have to understand that this image of the beast is going to be set up. This is the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. In fact, the very last verse of the 9th chapter. This beast is going to be set up in the temple of God in Jerusalem. And what we want to see is what God says about that here in the book of Daniel, 9th chapter. And he says, and he shall confirm the covenant. You know we went through this before when we was back in Daniel, but he is the Antichrist. He's the first beast. He will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That 1 week speaks of the 7 years. We've talked about the 7-year period of tribulation. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're studying about. And that 1 week is 7 years. He's going to confirm a covenant. I've looked at that many times and I've wondered, is he going to initiate the covenant? Is it going to be in place maybe when he gets in power? Because it says he confirms it. Maybe it's possible that he's the one that draws it up. I don't know all of these things. But all I do know is Israel has just elected a leader. Netanyahu has been put down, and a leader has been elected in Israel who is definitely for negotiating with the Palestinians. He's for having peace between them, and he's going to work steadily for this peace. And so everything is falling in place, you see. And we ought to really jump up and down and get excited about this, because I'm going to tell you right now, everything is just falling into place, and step by step as God is putting all these things into place. And so I want to cover verse number 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the abomination to cease. Now here we talk about in the middle of that week, 3.5 years, right in the middle of that 7-year week, he's going to cause the sacrifices to cease. In other words, he's going to stop Israel from back to sacrificing unto their God and doing the sacrifices of the Old Testament. He's going to stop all of that right in the middle of the week, okay? And he's going to take over. He wants to be worshipped as God. Okay, keep that in mind. And he says, to cease, and for the overspreading abomination. The overspreading of abomination, the word overspreading there speaks of like wings overspreading. In other words, this abomination that's going to take place is going to be an overspreading thing. It's going to be wide and overspreading, you see. It's going to be a horrible, horrible thing. And in fact, the abomination that he's talking about here is really, when you think about it, you can put in your mind the worst kind of evil that men can commit, and that's what God refers to as abominations. Now, one of the greatest evils that men can commit is to make an idol and worship it. That is a horrible, terrible thing. We are to worship the true and the living God. And to make idols and worship this, and that's what's going to happen here. This beast is going to be set up, and he's going to be worshipped right there in the temple of God. That's an abomination unto the Lord. And then he talks about, he says, and shall make it desolate The word desolate there also speaks of astonishment. But basically what it's talking about when it's talking about being desolate, he's emptying all the temple of its sacred furniture and true worshipers and setting up this beast, this image of the beast, right in the temple. Getting rid of all those precious furniture that means so much to the Jews and all of those things that God had instructed them back in the Old Testament. Now, me and you know we don't need those things today. We don't need those. We've got Christ. He's fulfilled all of it. Now, we know that, but the Jews don't know that now. Many of the Jews don't know that, you see. And so he's going to empty all of those and set up an image in its place to be worshipped right there in the temple of God. Now, I want to go over to the book of Matthew for a few moments. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Now, I'm going to start reading at verse number 15 because here Jesus also talks about the abomination of desolation, talking about the very same thing. In verse number 15, he says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand." Do you hear what he's saying? He said, right in the holy place. That's where they're going to set that image of the beast. And he calls it here abomination. Jesus calls it abomination of desolation. And of course he adds there, "Whosoever readeth, let him understand." That's serious business. We better listen. And then he says, "And then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Now we've covered some of this in our study, but it's during the middle part of the tribulation period. You remember in chapter 12 we covered this where they fled to a place where God had prepared for them and he was going to feed them there. Well, he's also talking about that right here. He's telling them at that time when you see that image set up in the temple, in the holy place, here's what he says, do. "Then let them which is in Judea flee into the mountains. Go and hide." He says, "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house." He says, when you're up on the housetop, don't go into the house and pick up any extra baggage. Don't go in and get clothes. Don't go in and get food. Don't go in and get anything. Just get off of that house and flee. That's what he said. It's going to be that serious. And listen what else he says. "Let them, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." He said, you're out in the field working. He said, don't go back to the house. Don't go pick up clothes and get and pack up. No, no, no. He says, you just flee for the mountains. It's going to be that serious, you see. And then he says, also in verse 19, "And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days." It's going to be difficult for those that are carrying children during those days. It'd be hard to maneuver and hard to flee. It's going to be hard for them. And he says, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, we've covered this before. We've talked about the terribleness of the tribulation period. But this is the words of Jesus Christ, who is saying this time of the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation, is going to be like none other time upon the face of the earth. It's going to be a horrible time. You can put all the terrible times that has ever happened on the earth, you can all put them all together and you can talk about them, but they won't mean anything compared to what's going to happen during the 7 years of tribulation. See, our Lord is telling us those things and we need to listen. See, we need to be warned. And I know you say, "Brother Ross, I won't be here." Well, I know you won't be here, but we don't want other folk to be here either. Amen. That's why we got to get people saved, born into the family of God. That's why the work of God is so important. It's more important than you. It's more important than me. Amen. It's more important than all of us. We got to get the work of God done. Got to get people saved because tribulation period is coming. Amen. So, and of course, we're looking for the rapture first, but tribulation period is coming. We don't want multitudes to go through the tribulation period. All right. Now let's go back to the book of Revelation to the 15th verse. And he says this, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." First of all, he had power. Where did he get his power? We already know that, don't we? We find that in verse number 2 of chapter 13. It tells us he got his power from Satan. And he's going to have this power, and the power that he's going to be able to do is give life unto it. But it explains what kind of life that he's going to give to it. Two things he says it'll be able to do. First of all, he says it'll be able to speak. This image will be able to speak. Not only that, he says it'll also have the ability to cause people who have not worshipped the image of the beast to be killed. It's going to have the power to do that. Now, first of all, let me say to you that this beast is going to speak intelligently. I don't think it's going to be a mumbled computer type voice. I don't know what it's going to be. I imagine computers are involved in the thing, but I think it's going to be a voice that speaks very clearly. And let me just give you one thought it might be, and that is it could be the demons of hell speaking through it. See, Brother Ross, is that scripture? Oh my, yes. The demons speak through people. Did you know that? In fact, let's go back to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. 16th verse. 16th chapter, 16th verse of the book of Acts. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsay. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shall show unto us the way of salvation. But she was saying this in a mocking way. She was not saying that as a way to say, hey, this is God's people. No, she was mocking them. So the Bible says, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. He spoke to the Spirit. It wasn't just this woman that was there. It was to the Spirit within the woman. And he says, said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And we won't continue to read, but you'll notice there, the demon, the spirit was speaking through her, telling her what to say and speaking through her. Look at chapter 19 of Acts, verse number 11. Says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took up on them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. And when they were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? In other words, well, maybe I ought to read that next verse. He says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I'm just simply saying to you, evil spirits can speak through individuals. Now, what I want to share with you is this. I don't know whether you keep up on these things or not, but the New Age movement. There is Alice Bailey, which is one of the main people in the New Age movement, okay? And she has a spirit guide. His last name, she calls him Cole. That's his last name. She has written 24 books, which she says he dictates to her word by word. And that goes on all the time. You get into the New Age movement, they all have spirit guides, demons. When I was at Anaconda Lumen Company, right after I was saved, I had a little knowledge about any of these things. But there was a gentleman over there, and I wish, Brother Dave, I could tell you the call of the name, and I can't. It's been a few years. I would know it if I heard it. But anyway, he told me one day that he said, and he got saved. Well, he come to know Christ, and he told me before that he would sit down at a table and begin to write, and a demon would tell him what to write. And he said, and when I got done, it was usually be blasphemous things about God and contrary to the scripture. He said he literally would tell me what to write. I'm just saying to you, though, demons have power. You don't want to fool around with them. You want to just keep the power of God upon your life and just love the Lord, love Him, walk with God, and you don't have to worry about this. Amen? But I'm saying to you, they have power to do these things. Now, I'm just simply indicating, I don't know how this great miracle is going to take place, but it's going to be a great miracle. He's going to be able to speak intelligently. This beast is, I keep calling him here, this image of the beast is going to be able to do that. And it is absolutely a capital offense not to worship the image of the beast. You don't worship the image of the beast, you die. That's the criteria, okay? That's what he said. Cause them that do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, I don't know, but I imagine every home probably to some degree will be monitored. You see, all kinds of things are happening in technology. And I certainly don't know how all of this is going to develop out. I don't have that kind of smarts. I don't understand all of it. I don't know if anybody would know for sure how it's going to be developed out, but we can see many things moving. But more than likely, homes are going to be monitored and information fed back somewhere to a central location on who's worshiping the beast or not. For some way, they're going to know who is participating in the worship of the beast. And in some way, they have a way of knowing that and getting the information back, because he says it causes those who do not worship it to be killed. So they have to know some way. They have to know where there's worship going on. And they're going to have that technology some way to be able to do that. Go back with me to the book of Revelation, the 16th verse, and he says, "And he causes all, both small and great and rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead." Every single person will be required to register. Every individual will be registered, you see. And they will receive a brand that will identify them as a loyal citizen of the Antichrist's world kingdom. And they'll receive a brand on either their right hand or on their forehead. And that will identify them that they have agreed and they've accepted the mark or the name or the number of the beast, I think it says in the next verse. But anyway, it'll be very evident. You see, I believe probably more than likely registration centers are going to be set up all over the world. More than likely that's going to take place. They're going to have this. And the things that you and I remember and know, Social Security cards and draft cards. And we went to Rock Home Garden here, a couple years ago maybe it was, something like that. And went into the over in Illinois, see if any of you have been there, and they've stamped you on the back of your hand. And that was so that you could go in and out of there and you could go back and you wouldn't have to repay. Well, that's evidently, I think, done other places too. Quite a few other places that's done. But I know it was done there. Those are just things that are just forerunners of what we're going to see. They're even now got little chips they can put underneath the skin. They do that even on animals. Did you know they're doing that on animals so that they can find the animals when they get lost? They put these little chips underneath the skin. They can do that on humans and all those kind of things. And what I'm simply saying to you, to some degree, all of those things are just forerunners to this one mark that's coming. That's going to be marked on every individual. And if it's not, they can't, as the Bible says, buy or sell. And that's going to be serious. We'll talk about it here in just a minute. But anyway, it could be some kind of a tattoo. It could be some kind of a laser mark. I don't know what it's going to be. But I'm just simply saying to you, there's going to be a mark there that identifies them as a loyal citizen to the beast world community. And you're going to have it if you're going to function in this world. You're going to have it. Now, notice that it speaks more than once. Chapter 14, verse 9, it speaks about the identifying them as the beast worshipers. And notice in chapter 14, verse 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand," let's read on down, "the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God." See, there's no question there. If you receive that, the wrath of God comes. I mean, there's no in-betweens. And then he says, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. In verse number 11, it says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You see, there's going to be an identifying mark. That's serious business. And they take that identifying mark, and I mean, it means in a lost eternity. You're associating yourself with the beast and accepting the beast's mark. It means a lost eternity. I personally believe, and I'm just going to show you that real quickly in the book of Revelation, the seventh chapter. I believe, once again, Satan is imitating God. Back in chapter 7 of Revelation, verse number 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. It's just an imitation of what God's been doing. God sealed His in their foreheads. And look at chapter 14, go back there again, verse 1. And I looked, chapter 14, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion, and him, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. It seems to be that this seal in chapter 7 is the Father's name. We're talking about God the Father's name. Amen. And so what the beast is doing is coming along, the Antichrist is coming along and imitating the mark that God has given his and sealed his with. He's an imitator. He's a false imitator. Amen. Then in verse number 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's going to be the situation. Impossible to find employment. Will not be able to work at a job without the mark. Won't even be able to conduct even the smallest business affairs without the mark. Even if a person has money stored up or has property that they could sell, they won't be able to spend it or they won't be able to sell it. Because you cannot buy or sell without the mark. Serious business. Amen? Serious business, you see. And you see, all transactions, no matter what they are, will be illegal. Unless you have the mark. And of course, if you have the mark, you're lost for eternity. Now, you know, I say to people, and I understand, because Satan blinds. Boy, he's a blinder. But I say to people, why would you want to take a chance of stepping into the tribulation period and going through this when you could get saved right now? Why would a person be so foolish? And I realize Satan is a deceiver. I realize he blinds the minds of men. I understand those. But oh, my, consider the consequences of turning Christ down, you see. Food is going to be a problem. I think probably, more than likely, there'll be many people that'll go to the wilderness and try to hide in places, because there is going to be some survive for a while. They're going to get saved through the tribulation period. But I just believe something. I believe there's going to be, to do that is going to be extreme hardships. Now, let me explain to you why. You say, well, we'll hide in the wilderness, we'll eat. Well, let me paint a little picture before this happens. Okay? Now, go with me. Revelation 6, verse 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. I'm just simply going back to chapter 6 and showing you the third seal and the scarceness of food. And I want to show you why I believe, of course, there's many reasons, because all kinds of things have happened, but one of the main reasons there's going to be a scarceness of food we find over in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. If you'll notice there in verse number 3, here's what he says. And I will give power unto my two witnesses that they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Okay? Now here's what happens in verse 6. And they have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as oft as they will. It isn't going to rain for 3.5 years. And what kind of food source are we going to have? And everybody, so many people think this thing's going to be just so easy. Where are they going to get their food from? There's going to be a drought for 3.5 years. It's going to be a horrible time. In fact, I believe, and I'll cover this and probably need to come to a close here, but let's go to the Matthew, the 25th chapter. I want to show you, because I believe this is what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 25. First of all, Matthew 25, verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now this is after the tribulation period. This is at the beginning of the millennial reign, when Jesus Christ comes back, okay? And he says, before him shall he gather all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. They're hiding, they're trying to survive, and there's people who come and help them. Now, I'm not going to read all the rest of it, but if you want to read the rest of it, he talks to the goats. He says, depart from me, because I never knew you. And he said, why? Because you never fed me. You never helped me during that horrible period of time. I'm simply going to say, folks, it is just going to be such a horrible time. We've just got to understand that. There's not going to be food. And if you take the mark, you're done. That's it. You're sealed for eternity. There's no hope. There's no erasing it. See? Now, can I just say to you, isn't it important that we get people saved? Isn't it important we get people won to Christ? Isn't that the most important thing we can do? Did you know that's why God established the church? For the salvation of souls. Not so we could be entertained and enjoy each other's company, which we should, but that's not what it's for. It's for bringing people to Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's just keep our gold out there. Amen. We know what our goal is. Get people saved. Get them born into the family of God. Amen. For we don't want them to go through this. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy, your kindness. Thank you for who you are and how great and wonderful you are. And once again, Lord, we thank you for being merciful unto us and giving unto us that wonderful salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And once again, Lord, tonight, should there be any here without Jesus, we pray for the salvation of that soul. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to be what we should be for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.